now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Ryan Phillips from the UK. And I think that Ryan's story, his personal experiences, are more representative in a way as far as describing the alien encounter phenomena. A lot of people think of the alien encounter phenomena as in-your-face alien encounters. And that is the be-all and the end-all of the experience. But actually, when you really delve into it, there's a lot of phenomena, a lot of quantum holographic types of experiences, metaphysical experiences that are part and parcel with the alien encounter, alien abduction phenomena itself. They all tie in. After all, it's just one same world. So without any further ado, Ryan Phillips, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you very much, James. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for sharing your platform with me today.
And thank you for taking the time to come on our show. Please give our listeners and viewers an idea of, you know, your background and how you perceive this with the benefit of hindsight, and also going back and reliving some of the experiences. Your voyage of discovery, how you came to realize you were having these experiences, like many of us, yours started at an early age. So please, you've got the floor.
Yeah, sure. Like you say, James, none of this is in your face. It's very subtle. And you've got to know, and your people like yourself and your show have really helped me put the pieces of the puzzle together. Some of your shows that you've done with Evie Logan and you know, really, honestly, they've added so much value to my life and given me a strategy to move forward that enables me to, you know, not make the same mistakes I've made in the past. So I want to thank you, for that right from the start. But yeah, like we say, it's not in your face. It's very subtle, and all my experiences are very subtle. And you've got to know what to look for. Now, I want to start by saying I haven't seen an alien. I have no recollection of being in any craft. I suspect I have an implant. Again, I don't know for sure. It's just, I know I've got some sort of, it feels like a pill, like a tablet that you take, one of those pills. It feels like that embedded under the skin in my hand. Now, the only reason I started to suspect that there may be some sort of paranormal element to some of the things that I've been experiencing was an abduction experience that I experienced when I was about 17, 18 years old. Now, again, you know, it wasn't in your face. It was a very subtle thing. I came in from a night out, and I remember walking to the house, came up to the house through the front garden, and I have no memory beyond that point whatsoever. I woke up in the morning feeling quite okay, nothing, you know, didn't feel too bad. Walked downstairs, and my mum looked at me and she's like, "I'm disgusted at you, your behaviour last night." I was like, what? I didn't do anything wrong. I was fine. She goes, "I woke up last night." She goes, "Mother's intuition, I don't know, but about 4 in the morning, I woke up. I had a feeling something wasn't right, and I instantly thought of you because you'd gone out, went to check on you in your bedroom. You wasn't in bed. So instantly I've panicked. I've looked out the window and I could see you standing in the middle of the garden completely naked." So she's gone running outside to see what's wrong with me. I was in a trance. I wasn't with it. I wasn't conscious. And she's grabbed me and she's like, get inside. And I still wasn't with it. I don't remember any of this. I have no recollection of it. I've run upstairs and got in bed. And She said, well, what's he doing in the garden naked? That's a little bit odd. A bit out of character. And where's his clothes? So she's had a quick look around the back garden, not in the back garden, going in the front. And the exact point where I had my last memory, where just before it all goes blank, my clothes were very neatly folded in a very neat little pile on the driveway. And my watch was laid on the top. And my watch, at the time, I was only young. I'd just started working and it was my first pay packet. But the watch was worth quite a lot of money to me at the time. It just laid out on top in the right next to the street where anyone could have taken it. So it's not something I would have done. I mean, I wouldn't have folded my clothes anyway, even if I took my clothes off in the bedroom. You know, they'd have got chucked on the floor as most 17-year-old teenagers would. So the whole incident struck me as being a little bit odd. We did joke at the time, I was abducted, laugh. And then we didn't really think too much about it after that. You know, it wasn't a major event. It was just an odd thing that we couldn't quite explain. But, you know, as throughout my whole life, there's been a lot of unexplainable paranormal activity. Now, when you talk about paranormal activity in the household, you automatically think, oh, it's a ghost or a demon or, you know, something, some evil spirit. Now, I've never sensed that there's anything present that has, you know, sort of really evil intentions. Or I've never really sensed that there's, you know, a trapped spirit in the house or, you know, and I do believe these things can exist and do exist. I just don't believe that that was something that I personally was experiencing. It's now later in life and listening to interviews, you know, like people like yourself have conducted and actually gradually working out the bigger picture of life of what's going on this planet. You can start to put pieces of the puzzle together and realize, hang on, you know, some of these events, they actually start to make sense when you look at, you know, I've heard people say, you know, you're never really alone. If you could see through the veil, it's like rush hour out there. There's so much going on in the background. And there's, I think people like me and you, James, and many of your listeners who themselves may not be aware of the activity that's going on around them or what they may be even subjected to in the background. Because like I say, you know, I was given strong clues with my abduction experience, if that's what it was. A lot of people aren't fortunate enough to get those clues, you know. And I honestly do believe that wasn't a one-off with me. I can think of many occasions where, you know, I've woke up in the bedroom. You know, give you an example, I woke up totally flipped 180 upside down in the bed one day. Okay, you know, I've had a really restless night, wasn't sleeping very well. All of a sudden, I've like passed out with no recollection of falling asleep. And then I've just woke up suddenly upside down in the bed. Okay, a little bit odd, you know. The other day, this was literally less than a month ago. I've got an old dog. She's 15 years old. We've recently moved house. And in the house that we're in now, she's never been upstairs. She's never ventured upstairs. She's too old to even try and climb the stairs. The other morning, woke up. Imogen, who's my stepdaughter, she woke up. Why is Coco in my room? It's like, that's a bit odd. She's never, ever been upstairs. But not only was she in her room, the bedroom door was closed. And the dog was on the far side of the bedroom. And she's a teenager. Teenagers' bedrooms, you can't walk from one side of the room to the other. There's no clear floor space. And with her legs being the way she, there's no way she'd have got over there. So how did the dog end up there? I don't know. A little bit odd, you know. Just little things, little clues that you could easily pass off as nothing, you know, oh, odd, you know, don't really think about it too much after that, after the occasion, and before you know it's forgot. But because I've been given these clues and putting pieces of the puzzle together, it's I do see these situations as, you know, I kind of know what's happened there. You know, I've got a good idea of what's happened there. And the interference doesn't stop with strange things happening in the night. I've been in a situation before where I've been sat in a room with other people, and as I'm sat in the room, it was in a conservatory, and the boundary between the conservatory and the house, there was some drape curtains, drape curtains over the doorway. So
Ryan, what's a conservatory?
A conservatory is a glass, it's like a room that's not heated. It's like a summer house that you sit in. It's all glazed. It's basically a room in a house that's all glazed. And the person I was sat with has got up and left the room to go and make a cup of tea or whatever. And as I've sat there, completely calm, nothing spooky, nothing eerie, it's like someone that's invisible that I can't see has ducked under the draped curtains, and I could see where someone had lifted it up so they could pass through, and then it's gone back down. You know, and I've sat there and I've watched that happen in front of my face, and I've gone, oh, that's weird. I can't explain that in any way, shape or form. The only way I can explain that is that there's someone invisible in the room that I cannot see that's passed under that neck curtain and moved it out of the way. That kind of makes sense. But it doesn't stop there. I'm quite fortunate now. With the life that I've had, I've made an effort to be more conscious and to be more self-aware, which is very important, because if you're not in control, it's like when you people that are drunk. How many times have you known people that are drunk that got to a point where they've blacked out, remember absolutely nothing, and done some absolutely crazy stuff, and woke up in the morning so paranoid and you know, regretful and embarrassed? And to me, that isn't just being drunk. That's someone who's not in control of their own body, and something else steps to the forefront and goes, "Oh, I'm gonna have a bit of fun here. You know, I'm gonna do this, that, and the other." I can tell you now that I've been in a pub where I've been drunk, and you know, I've been in this situation where I've lost all memory, and then there's people saying he was, you know, dancing around the Christmas tree with no clothes on, you know, naked in the pub. So, oh no, I didn't really, please. You know, and I'm not the only one that experiences that. So going back to what I was saying about being conscious and in control, there are times in my life where I've been doing something autonomously where I've not really been concentrating, not thinking, and it might be something quite delicate. And then all of a sudden, I might be moving something that's really fine and delicate, and all of a sudden, I'll jolt. The whole thing will spill everywhere. And it's going, the stress. Now, was that me that jolted at that moment, in that time, at that exact moment? Or is there something observing me at that moment, thinking, oh, if I'm nudging now, or if I take over, you know, if I access? Because, James, I mean, again, this is all speculation for me. I can't say this for absolute truth, but I suspect that the chakra system, these portals of energy that we've got running down the spine, I believe that's a segmentation, a fractalization of us. You know, it's like when you look at the prism of light, that you've got the beam of light that goes through the pyramid on the Pink Floyd album that comes out as a spectrum of rainbow. That's a fragmentation. That's like a solid, it's like if that white, solid, bright light is your soul core being, it's like fragmented and divided so that we're accessible. That's what I believe the chakras are all about. It's about making us accessible to these outside entities so that we can be manipulated and interfered with in subtle ways that we can't really notice, obviously. I'm trying to think of more examples. You hear stories of people that have had car crashes, you know, people that are of interest to the Secret Services, maybe, you know, they've done something, and then you hear that they've died in a car crash under mysterious circumstances. Now, were they just driving down the road autonomously, and then something takes over them? They have a twitch, and you don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. I believe that's a very strong possibility. I mean, I'm not fearful of driving, or I ride a motorbike quite recklessly sometimes. But when I ride a motorbike fast, I'm 100% in the zone. I'm totally. I'm on that bike. I'm planted. Me and that bike are one, and my concentration is unfounded. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. It's all autonomous, and I'm 100% on it. I don't think there's anything that could interfere with me at that moment, because I'm totally in the moment. But there's moments in my life where, you know, I might not be 100% focused and controlling. Something else could, you know, something can access me quite easily, and you know, it caused a little bit of destruction in my life.
Now, just to interject for a second, those times when you felt something like that may have happened, was it a scenario where, like, whether it was a sudden impulse or a random thought, suggestion, if you will, to go out and do something or take part in some kind of activity which kind of created, like, the aftermath resulted in, you know, regret, in self-recrimination, that kind of thing. Where it's like, why did I do that? Everything was, I should have just stayed home and just, you know.
Oh, in my younger life, James, I'm full of stories like that. Now I'm a little bit more conscious, a bit more self-aware. I tend to be a bit more, you know, I tend to assess situations better than I used to. And I don't always act on impulse, but I've had plenty of those situations in the past where, you know, I'm saying that our bodies are accessible, but so is our mind. And, you know, I could be, not so much now, but certainly in times in the past, I could let my mind run away with me. I could be sat there and all of a sudden, something will crop up from the past that has no relevance to the present moment at all. A situation that's happened in the past that's not relevant. And it does still happen now, but I consciously stop these thoughts from gaining any momentum, whereas I used to let them run away with me. So I could be perfectly happy, having a perfectly good day. I could have one of these thoughts come into my head an old situation, something where that I might be embarrassed about, something that will still touch a nerve to this day. And it will send me in a spiral of downward thought. And, you know, I could then end up fed up and, you know, absolutely. I think these things are done deliberately to send us on these downward trajectories, because I believe we do have, well, this whole planet is all about suppression and feeding from negative vortexes of energy that we create. And we generally create these vortexes of negative energy through manipulation. And listening to some of the work that you and Evie Logan have done on what's it called, the Love Bite, I found that fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I could look back at my life and go, wow, some of the situations I've been put in that have created this huge vortex of energy of, you know, despair and desperation and hatred and, you know, feuds and, you know, when I look at some of the, when I wasn't so conscious about things, when I used to let things just, you know, happen unconsciously, I was a real resource for some of these entities to come and have a feast. I don't know about you, James, but I'm now at this stage in my life, I can really see that these things are very real and relevant.
Well, yes. Barbara Barthel used to refer to it as emotional, energetic harvesting, emotion, energies in motion. And by nature, we are resonators. We are emitters of frequency. And it behooves these archontic beings to keep us in a low frequency bandwidth through one means or another. And one thing that I've come to understand, and it's not, the New Agers kind of have a particular take on it, but the way myself and some of my colleagues see it is, yes, we are co-creators. The problem is, as you pointed out, when we're not at that level of self-awareness and that we haven't attained that degree of self-mastery, self-control, I'm a work in progress. And, you know, by no means am I some yogi or some Buddha type that can just tune out all the negativity in the world and what have you. What happens is, because these entities, many of them from our 3D perspective, rapidly verging on 4D, they're discarnate, they're interdimensional, they're non-corporeal, they need a vehicle, a medium through which to work through in order to affect our society, our civilization, our plane of existence. Enter us, and through the chakras, like you pointed out, the sexual chakra, what a great way to get into people one way or the other and instill all these habits, instill all these behaviors and modes of thinking. And I remember a discussion I had with Sarah Stanga. She's dropped off the radar the last several, 10, 15 years. But she was telling me when she was in the underground facilities, she'd observed firsthand how these adepts, these warlocks in some of the underground bases, they had a way of activating particular chakras in a subject, mind control victim, whatever the case may be. And by activating such a particular chakra, they were able to access particular dimensions, access particular portals to travel through, send things through, and allow things in. So they'd figured out a way, and probably these adepts and mystics have known about this all along, of utilizing certain chakras. And Kenneth Grant, in his book, and he was a devotee of Crowley, talks about the ohas and the energy emitted from particular chakras that have been activated, how they can actually store those energies in metallic discs for later use or whatever the case may be. So that's a very real aspect of this, the chakra manipulation, keeping us in a state of, from their ideal perspective, in a state of permanent instability. One of the things you mentioned also about finding yourself outside naked, and well, you don't remember that. Your mom had seen you outside at 4 a.m., starkers, as they say in Australia, right? What happened to me a few times when I was a boy was I used to have this this one-piece gray pajama outfit with the attached socks, booties, as some people would call them, right? So from the footwear all the way up to the neck, it was all one piece. And there were times, this is when I was living in Daly City, California, which is right next to San Francisco. There were times I'd wake up in the morning and there would be dirt, and there were dirt clods and twigs and stickers underneath the, the sock part of my foot in this one piece outfit, as if I'd been outside at night sometime. This happened to me a few times. And there were times when I would wake up and I would find my undershirt and my underwear either inside out or backwards, like some idiot ET didn't quite, put on my clothes correctly, right? And that happens where, and I've had the exact same thing where I woke up oriented in an entirely different direction in bed. And there were times where I woke up in an entirely different part of the house. Like I woke up on the sofa one time and I distinctly remembered I went to sleep in my bed. It's like, what am I doing to my sofa? Right. Wow. It didn't even make sense. So these things, when one, and I'd like your thoughts on this, because for so many of us, just trying to maintain an even keel in the workaday world, in the day-to-day world, there's a tendency to just put this kind of unexplainable stuff in the back burner and just let it sit there for a while. And a lot of people just forget about these things. Whereas we're more of the type where we kind of, you know, after a little bit of time, we reflect on what we'd seen, experienced, felt, and say, hang on a minute, there's something not quite right about this, right? So we kind of put it in a special category and then let it distill for a while and try to figure it out. And eventually, at some point, the coin may drop, right? And so were there occasions, aside from what you described, when, you know, it helped to shatter the paradigms? Because a lot of us come into this world, and also through this indoctrination system, we wind up paradigmatic thinkers. That's what they want us to be, stuck in these dogmas, stuck in these paradigms. And in my case, bit by bit, these odd, strange things that had happened to me, which there was not a UFO in sight, there was not an alien in sight. But if one reads Michael Talbot's book, The Holographic Universe, and the book before that, I think, Beyond the Quantum, or it could have been after, he talks about these kinds of weird, anomalous things that happen to people throughout history. And then bit by bit, when enough of these things happen to you, the paradigms begin to get shattered. The old way of thinking begins to come undone, right? And I think that's a necessary, in many ways, prerequisite for better understanding later on when we're confronted with even more enormous truths and issues. So I would just wonder what your thoughts on any of that is, and please take it in any direction you want.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, actually, that, if I go back to sort of 2011, 2012, I was expecting the time we're in now, these uncertain times where things are really starting to rattle and roll. I was expecting all this to happen in 2012 when, you know, because of the Mayan predictions, blah, blah, blah. And I really fell into that trap. I later found out, actually, that the calendar that we work by has been changed, you know, by about 8 or 10 years. I'm not quite sure. So maybe now, this period we're in now should be 2012. It'd certainly be more fitting. But anyway, around that time, I really thought things were about to rattle and roll, and I felt the need to try and warn people about what was happening and what was coming. So I spent some time writing, trying to put something in together that would paint a picture of what's really going on in the world. Now, to do something like that in this world, you're making a rod for your own back. You're making yourself a target. So I had a lot of experiences around that time, and I had an experience that I'll probably save for part two for the members' experience, because it could get me into trouble if the wrong person was to hear it. So you'll have to remind me in part two about it, to go over that experience. But yeah, I had a lot of things happening around me at that time. But one of the most obvious things that was quite annoying, and this was where the energies started becoming more and more blatant and more obvious in my life. I had a computer at the time that wasn't connected to the internet. And I had it just for writing because, you know, I found that the computers I had that were connected to the internet got very slow, became very unreliable. You know, I had a lot of problems with those computers. So this was just for writing, didn't need anything special from it, just typing. And while I was looking at the screen typing, it worked fine. But the second I looked down to look where the keys were and press the keys without looking at the screen, the cursor would dart around the screen and I'd have random letters all over the screen. And it wasn't a one-off. It was every single time I looked down. So it made writing very, very difficult. I had to look at the screen and watch the cursor for it to stay put so I could write something that made sense. And from that, you know, I was also, you know, I had a little bit of gang stalking going on at the time and stuff as well. Because they want to stop anyone that's wants to bring this information to the fore. I do believe they try and stop them before they even get to the point where they could do anything credible. So yeah, from that point forwards, some of these energies started getting more and more obvious. I was getting more and more taunted as well, to the point where I would literally see things physically move around me. You know, I was sat in the living room one night, and I had a box of vinyl records, and I was just sat there, and this box of vinyl records just suddenly toppled over out of nowhere. No vibration, no movement, just fell over. Found that quite exciting. I was like, okay, what else is going to happen? Looking there, waiting for something else to happen, but it didn't. But then I had some real, real problems sleeping at night. I've got a lot of health issues, which again, you know, autoimmune diseases and things, that are these things that are naturally occurring, or could these possibly be activated in people that have implants, possible, activated in people that have, you know, gone through all the correct medical procedures when they were children, you know, certain injections that we might have had as children, possible, I don't know, but got a lot of autoimmune problems, and during this time of not sleeping, I was taunted a lot at night, and it started off with involuntary movements. You know, I'd just be dozing and all of a sudden I'd twitching and jerking, and that was annoying. That went on for a while. Then it moved on to, like, I was just dozing, and at the moment I was renovating my bedroom. We had no carpet, and so I had a bedside table that was sat on floorboards, and I was laying facing the bedside table, and just as I was dozing, it slid across the floor. Jolted me awake. How annoying. And now I'm awake and startled and wondering what that was. And, you know, trying to get back to sleep, you know. And then it got progressively worse. There was one day I was sat leaning on the edge of the bed with my head in my arms, you know, I'd be up and down. Because if you sit up for a while and then lay back down, you feel a little bit refreshed. Stand a better chance of sleeping. So I was sat up in bed, just sitting there, and then all of a sudden something pushed me clean over, and like violently and hard. I was bruised and grazed from the experience as well. What the hell? I was angry. I was, you coward, hiding in the shadows, attacking me, you know, you absolute coward. Whether I should be taunting these things or not, I don't know. I'm not fearful of it anymore. These things are have been too normalized for me now to be paranormal or to be fearful of it. And then there was another occasion where I was actually asleep, and I was awakened, physically sliding across the bed. There was nothing pushing me. I could feel nothing in, like, someone's hand in the middle of the back pushing. I had none of that. I was just sliding across the bed. And I tried to grip onto the bed to stop myself, but I could see myself getting closer to the edge. And then just got to the edge, dropped off, bang on the floor. I was like, oh. You know, how annoying, how frustrating. So these energies have been getting a little more obvious. They've not been concealing themselves. It's like, I know what's going on, so there's no point hiding anymore. You know, there's no point trying to be discreet. We'll just give them what we've got, you know. And there was another occasion when, again, this was recent. This is all recent, this stuff now. There was a time I went away with my friends, and this is right in the middle of when I'm, you know, being pushed off the bed and stuff. I went away with my friends, and we stayed on a boat. Now, we was all inside the boat, and then one of my friends went up on the top to have his birthday cigar, and one by one, the other people inside the boat went up there and joined him. And just as the last person left my vicinity, and as they went out the back door to climb up on the roof, my bedroom door, which was at the front of the boat, just violently went bang and burst open, and, you know, startled me. I was like, whoa, look, my bedroom. Okay, I'll take that as a as a sign, as a signal that you're telling me that even though I'm away from home, you're here with me now. You know, is this about fear now? Is this about installing fear? No, it's not, because I'm not fearful of it. What is this about now? It's purely antagonistic. Purely antagonistic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is anything, I don't know if you yourself have
had some things, some people I know have gone through much worse experiences than I have as far as these kinds of supernatural intrusions, right? And it's sometimes it's almost pointless trying to make a determination, okay, is this ET related? Is it interdimensional? Is it supernatural? Is it like a haunting? It's, you know, something is going on. And from a quantum holographic perspective, it's all possible. So I'm not going to spin my wheels to try to figure out what exactly is going on, because that would be, you know, unproductive, at least for a time.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, gradually what happens is sometimes it could be quite abrupt. One's worldview, one's perspective radically changes. So after a while, you know, getting back to the normalization aspect you were just describing, we start to take some of these things almost in stride. And I don't know if that's a good thing or it's a bad thing, right? I know that it's probably a good thing that we don't have the like real negative downer effects that we may have had earlier. Like, oh, I had a horrible experience last night, and we just fret and, you know, despair over it for days and weeks. Whereas a recovery time, if you will, is more rapid. I mean, we can go through even a relatively crappy experience, and then within a day or two, we're pretty much back to normal. So I guess that's a good thing. It shows that we're adapting, if you will, that we've, our comfort zone, rather our security posture has been increased to the point where a lot of these things don't affect us the way they may have. I went through a pretty skittish phase too, where, you know, I just hear an abrupt sound or a knock or a pounding on the window or something. It could just be a friend who wants to hang out, right? You know, I'd just be jolted, you know, from, you know, the surprise and the shock. Now, what I've come to understand, and I like your thoughts on this too, is this is one level of consciousness that we're at now, where we're talking, interacting with each other. When we go to sleep and we drift off into the dream world, that's a whole nother environment, a whole nother reality entirely, where once again, because of the astral interdimensional aspects, the laws of physics and what have you that we've come to understand as normal here simply do not apply. Now, in what, if any, dreams do you remember having that may have a bearing on what we've been discussing? Have you had dreams about UFOs, aliens, or being in a haunted house, or are there recurring themes or patterns or locales in some of your dreams where you seem to, you know, go back to once in a while?
Yeah, in all honesty, no, I don't tend to remember dreams. That doesn't necessarily mean they're not occurring. I just don't necessarily remember them. But I have had some odd things happen to me at the point of where I've been sort of going to sleep. I've had a couple of out of body experiences actually, and I. Again, you know, this is all speculation, because you hear that, what I've heard is that we're not always physically abducted. Sometimes they'll just abduct our astral body.
Now,
I don't know about all this stuff, really. A lot of this is quite airy-fairy for me. I'm more of a nuts and bolts kind of guy. But however, that doesn't necessarily mean to say that there isn't something, some relevance to all of it. It's just, you know, I'll gloss over this without being too specific, because it's not really my field. But yeah, I do believe they abduct the astral body. I don't know what the astral body is. I don't know what the astral plane is. I've experienced it, because I've had an out of body experience, and it's always been when I've been lying in bed. The first time it happened, I was just laying in bed. I had this unbelievable tingling sensation just washed right over me. It was almost like spine tingling and starting my feet up and down. It washed, waved over me, and then pop, I was out. But it wasn't, I was awake and experiencing this, but it was almost like a dreamscape at the same time. It's a very, very hard thing to explain, but I remember seeing myself laying in bed, and I moved around the house. I wasn't walking. I moved around the house, and I was naturally, and I actually started drifting towards the window and going up towards, and I went, no, and I resisted that, and I was like, no, I'm not going out there. I was fearful of that, that didn't actually happen. So I stayed put where I was. Now, was that an abduction where there was taking me up to somewhere and I resisted and I popped out and I'm in the astral plane? Because this isn't something I can do on my own will and my own, you know, I can't travel the astral plane or anything. So I remember going into the landing. Oddly enough, my landing window was a little bit different to what it is in real life. I don't know what the significance of that is. I don't really understand. It was like just a bit of an exploration for me. And I went and laid in the bath, which was weird. And I was like, and then that started feeling like I could drift off again, like out of this, being consciously aware of where I am. And I was like, no, get back in bed. And then I almost forgot that I wasn't in my physical body. And then as I got back into the bedroom, I could see myself laying in bed again. And then I sort of settled back in, and I was like, oh. And it was like the settling in was almost like I could feel myself coming back in. And then it was like, I could feel, yeah, I'm in now. And then I went back off to sleep. So it was weird, unusual experience. Again, not something I could quite explain, but it happened to me again, years apart. At this time, it was during my period of really, really poor sleep, and I was laying in bed and looking at the clock, and it's like 3 o'clock, and then just turned 4 o'clock. I was like, oh. At least I'm past the witching hour now, because, you know, between 3 and 4 is, you know, quite as a reputation for being the most active period in the night. I've missed the, you know, the witching hour, should be all right now. And then just as soon as I had that thought, I had that exact same sensation washing all over me again. And I was like, whoa, I know what's happening here. I was like, no, stop. Letting myself be pulled out of my body, I was resistant and I stopped it from happening. And I woke myself up and I was like, you know, and I physically stopped it from happening that time. So that my interpretation of what happened there, I do believe that was an astral abduction, which, you know, sounds airy-fairy, I know.
To interject for a second, I had something similar happen when I was in San Diego. I was laying in bed at night trying to drift off, and I felt myself lifting off the bed. Now, at the time, I didn't know if I was in my body. I didn't know if it was astral. All I know was I had the sensation of being levitated off my bed. So I started screaming quite naturally, right?
Oh, yes.
But I didn't hear my voice. So I go,
yeah, okay. So about that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't hear my voice. Yeah. So I'm either kind of like muted or this is an astral thing. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. And another occasion, I had a dream. It was a dream experience. And I don't know if it was, I dreamt about a previously unremembered or forgotten experience or experience that was wiped from my conscious memory, or it was just some kind of dreamscape scenario that some ET or something decided to create, you know, for me in my sleep state. But in my dream, I was driving along in a car that I had at the time. Yeah. And in the dream, suddenly the car is lifted off the road. And once again, I start screaming, right? What else am I going to do? And, And I was so terrified, it caused me to just wake up with a start in bed. And it made me wonder, like, what was that all about? Was it a previously unremembered abduction I went through, or just they're just messing with me? Or yeah, so I can relate to the astral dreamscape and astral abduction aspect of it. And I know that I've had astral abductions because I felt them at times, just almost violently ripping my consciousness, for lack of a better term, right out of my physical body, sometimes forcibly out of my head. Sometimes I could feel my soul, call it what one will, being just forcefully like ejected out of my chest cavity. And other times I could feel my consciousness being pulled out from the soles of my feet. So it varied. And also you talked about in bed and feeling sensations being moved and slid around. I've had experiences where I was going through a skittish phase, and for me, it tends to these kinds of experiences tend to run in cycles, right? And nothing happens for a while, and then whammo, I go through a spate of these experiences. And I was in one of those cycle periods, and I left the lights on because I was kind of skittish again. And I was laying there with my eyes closed, and I had a white bed sheet over me, and I could feel the white bed sheet literally being pulled towards the foot of the bed, and I'm immobile. I can't move or do anything about it. So I just start, I don't know what I did. I was calling out, in my mind, praying or something, but it stopped. But I distinctly remember that this bed sheet was being pulled down towards the foot of the bed. So again, it was an example of, yes, yeah, from a quantum entanglement, quantum observation point of view, something is watching, something is observing. Something is impacting me in some way. Just like they say in quantum physics, if you look at something that you're having some effect on even a relatively inanimate object, so-called, simply by focusing one's attention on it. Well, something clearly was focusing his attention on me, and obviously these things have focused their attention on you as well at times.
Sure. I have wondered, James, as well, whether this is all extraterrestrial or whether I actually suspect there are some people in my life that were in my life, sorry, when I was less conscious. That were actively part of. I was made a victim by certain people that I know now. High-ranking Freemasons that practice. But I'm assuming, sorry, that they practice, the dark arts. Now, I've spent people with evil intent have fascinated me for a while, and I've done a lot of research into their intentions, and I've followed certain people on YouTube, and that's led me to other people in other areas, and I've learned a lot about what makes them tick, why they do what they do, why and how and why they feed emotionally from other people. Like they call themselves it's a not emo some sort of vampire. I can't think what the word is now. Emotional vampire. No, I don't know.
Energetic vampire.
Energetic vampire, that's the one. They vampire people, not through sucking their blood, but through, energy. And they consciously
Oh yeah, that's no
drain
joke,
people's
because you
energy.
spend even a minimal amount of time from these people, they're like sucking the life essence out of you. You're just drained and exhausted, and which leaves you vulnerable for further manipulation.
Now, the one guy that I followed, he one of his blogs or vlogs, whatever you call it, he was claiming that he was still taunting his ex-wife, and he used to visit her in the astral plane at night, and she used to see him in her bedroom at night. She knew it was him, and she knew, because she knew what he was into as well, and she knew he dabbled in that stuff, so she knew it was him. But I've also wondered whether there could be an element of that in my life, whether it is necessarily an extraterrestrial being, or whether it is someone on the earth plane that is practicing the dark arts, that have access to techniques and things that we, have very little understanding of. that may come into the access my physical location and start manipulating and being vindictive towards me in the night. It's possible. You know, I'm open to everything. I don't know for certain exactly what's going on, apart from I do know that it's all about, like we've said, energetic vampirism, whether it's on an extraterrestrial level or whether it's, you know, on a physical level, real tangible people in our lives that are, you know, like to see us as victims. And I'm not a victim by these people anymore. So that's maybe why they've moved on to doing, you know, to a new strategy and different techniques. Maybe this is just something I'm considering. I don't know for sure.
What happens sometimes, and certainly this is the case with archontic entities of various stripes, where if they can't get the requisite feed off somebody because they just don't give into the fear, right? Or they may even be defiant and have a don't give a toss attitude, and they don't get the feed and reaction out of them, it seems to me they sometimes move on to easier prey, move on to other game.
Yeah.
And one thing about these adepts, warlocks, black magicians, if you will, I think that some of them are definitely hybridized, reptilian, Draco, hybrid, mantid hybrid of one form or another. So they have an innate metaphysical aspect to them.
Yes.
And definitely some of them are astral operators. Some of them are really into astral rape, sexually violating people astrally, and then gang stalking them and then trolling them afterwards, like, ha ha ha, you know that was me, but you can't prove it was me, because if you try to go to the authorities, they'll just think you're a nut and lock you up for saying that I'm visiting you, you know, astrally, doing all these things to you. So they gaslight them on top of that. And there are people in the UFO field, people in the truth community, so-called, that do this. There are people that are hardcore evil. They profess to be publicly on their YouTube channels or in their podcasts to be truthers and, you know, freedom fighters, but they're anything but. And it's possible that somehow you wound up on the radar. Now, did this come on the heels of you doing your writing and putting out certain information? Was it after that time frame or
actually,
during?
No, it was after. Yeah. I actually went through quite a lot at the time I was doing the writing and stuff, and it got me to the point where I was quite fearful to continue, you know, putting things out there. It got to the point where, you know, I stood back for a while, you know, just because, you know, I was scared of where it could possibly lead. Because like I say, I did have, there's a story I want to come into in part two that really shook me big time and made me think, actually, I'm really dabbling with, you know, some pretty powerful forces here. So I took a step back for a long time. It's only been, you know, now I've sort of started being outspoken again, but I feel that I'm in a better position now. I'm more consciously aware. I'm making it harder for them to access me. I'm making it harder for them to manipulate me as I'm becoming more self-aware and more conscious. And I think it's also very important to note, James, that, you know, when I was, in the thick of allowing these energies to run rampant in my life, and things were falling apart for me and I was in despair. Life was difficult, man. I've had a tough life. And I know there's a lot of people out there who can relate to what I'm saying, because there's a lot of us here experiencing this, James. I'm not unique here by any means or any stretch. Yeah, my challenges are quite extreme because I've needed extreme challenge in my life in order to develop and grow. It's been a catalyst. It's been something that I can actually say has been quite beneficial in my life. And I'm actually really, in a strange way, quite grateful for all this challenge, if that makes sense. But going back to where I was in my life when before I was when I was manipulable, and I still am manipulable. I'm not trying to claim that I've made it, or you know, my process is over. It's not by any stretch. I'm still learning. I'm still growing, and I've still got challenges. I've still got big challenges actually in my life. But on the whole, as I've become more self-aware and more conscious, because I've needed to be, my life has improved greatly, especially on a day-to-day basis. And we can call it the law of attraction, if you like. I don't like that term because I think The Secret, the film, the movie The Secret, was quite deceptive in that it stated that it's your thoughts that manifest the world and the reality around you. And I don't believe it is your thoughts. I believe it's your belief systems and your emotional well-being, that your inner world, your outer world rather, is a reflection of your inner world, a direct reflection. And I've had this proven to me so many times, and it's true. So by being more self-aware and more conscious, we are able to use our creative energies rather than to use our creative energies to feed these entities through fear and anger and despair and all these negative emotions. We can actually start harnessing our energy in a more creative way to empower ourselves and to improve our lifestyle and our day-to-day living. And I've seen this in my own life. Where I'm coming from, I've still got big challenges in my life, but from where I've come from the dark places and that I've come from, I've made tremendous ground over the course of the last 10 years or so, maybe 15 years. I've really come a long way in myself. And it's been a difficult process. It's not been easy. It's been challenging. And I know that in order to progress any further now, it's going to take more challenge. It's going to take more. And I know it's that, and I'm prepared for it. And there are times where I can really start to feel that something's coming into my life that's going to challenge me greatly. In one sense, I'm like, oh no, here we go. This is going to be difficult. I don't want to do this. But in another sense, I'm like, come on, you need this. This is going to be transformative in some way. This is going to benefit you in some way, shape or form. It has to, because of how things have been in my past. My darkest times, James, my darkest days turned out to be my most enlightening as well. And I'm not alone in this experience. I know there's other people out there who find these challenges transformative. And this isn't just on a personal level. I think this is on a planetary scale as well. The human race itself is going to be challenged big time. What we are on the precipice of, and it's already started. The chess pieces are moved. They're already in position. Things are in flow. We are heading towards big challenges, big challenges as a collective. But these challenges, for people like us, James, especially for people like us, they're going to be very transformative. Our lives, as we know and understand them now, are going to be very different in the very near future. You know, we can already see they've got plans that for the whole system itself needs to change. It has to change because technology has got to a point now where the human labor force is being made redundant. Now, at the moment, the whole system uses the human labor force as a resource. We live in a debt-based economy where the debt is repaid through human labor. That is the very foundation for the system that we're in at the moment. Now, that's going to change. It has to change because the technology is advancing to the point now where it has to change. And it, you know, things in the future will be, it won't be a debt-based economy. It won't be labor-based. It'll be, I believe, conformity-based. If you conform to the system, you will be rewarded by the system. That still stands now. That's how the system operates now. People who support and reward the system are rewarded by the system. People who stand against the system usually are, you know, people who aren't very successful in you know, monetary terms or, you know, depending on how you look at success in life. So, yeah, going back to what I'm trying to say, we need to start using our creative energies more consciously, both on an individual, personal level, and as a collective, as we see things progress. We can already see a huge division in society. That is very, very obvious. There are certain terms I can't use, but this recent pandemic, you've got two portions of people, those that have complied with what was being pretty much forced upon the population, and those who were resistant. There's two very distinct camps of people now. And ultimately, that divide is going to widen. It's going to become greater. And for people like me and you, James, our lives are going to be challenging, but at the same time, we're going to move in a direction which is more genuine, which is we're more going to be more true to ourselves, more true to our nature, and ultimately, it's going to be more rewarding. And there's one thing, James, that really, honestly, when I stand back and I look at how severely and how much energy is being used into suppress the human race as a collective and in our personal, on our own personal lives, you know, down to our personal relationships, we're getting interference on every level, down to our own personal thoughts. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe. It's there is no stone left unturned. They are coming at us from every possible conceivable angle. And when I stand back and look at how heavy this suppression is, I get so excited about thinking about how life can be without this suppression. And that's exactly what's happening. As this system is revealing itself, the intentions of this dark cabal, as we start to see more and more what its intentions are, what's happening and what it's doing, and we become more consciously aware, we are moving away from all of that. And ultimately, this is heading in one direction. And where this will end up is that this place, there is an awakening occurring amongst the human population. We are changing, we are evolving, we are waking up, we are becoming more true to our true nature. And as this happens, they're going to find this place more and more uncomfortable. And it's going to come to a point where they're going to be so uncomfortable, they're not going to want to reside here on this planet anymore. And I personally, I can only see this going in one way. I can see them trying to, ultimately, at the end of all of this, they're going to have to leave this planet, and they're going to try and take as many people as they can with them, to further their agenda elsewhere with the human race. And there is something about the human race that's very unique. And this isn't my song to sing, but there's something about the human race. We are a very unique and a very powerful species. We just don't know the power that we hold. They do. They understand what's here to be harnessed, and they are harnessing that energy. They've worked very hard for a very long time to harness this energy that we, on an individual level and on a collective level, they've manipulated our energy to harvest our energy for a very long time. And when we start to take our creative processes back into our own hands, wow, I can only imagine where this is leading. And I get so excited. Sometimes I get, you know, I really get buzzing about where this is leading. And there was an analogy that I heard that really struck a chord with me. And I don't listen to channelings anymore, but this particular channeler, it was Bashar. I used to listen to him many, many years ago. I listened to him a lot because there was a lot of wisdom come through that channel. And generally speaking, channels don't share wisdom like that. But he actually stated that the further and the deeper we are pulled back into the darkness, when we're finally released, the faster and further we will shoot into the light. It's like an elastic band, you know, you pull it back, the tension that we're under at the moment, as that's released, we're going to fly on a trajectory of, you know, a positive trajectory that we can't even imagine from this perspective. And this is what I believe is coming in within our lifetime. I hope. I mean, like I say, James, I'm still in a very precarious position. My health isn't great. I've been on dialysis now for 11 years. And I'm sitting here talking about the system collapsing, and now my life depends on that system at the moment. So I'm in a very precarious position, and I could quite easily sit here very fearful about what the future holds. And don't get me wrong, James, I'm human, and I have sat and fret about it at times. What am I going to do when the system collapses? Because I can see it collapsing. It has to. It has to collapse. There's no other way. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? You know, but at the end of the day, if I spend my energy focusing on the negatives, I'm going to manifest those negatives. So I try and, you know, I try and focus on my excitement of what will be, regardless of the ifs and buts, because life has a very strange way of working itself out. I nearly went bankrupt 11 years ago. When I first became ill, I nearly went bankrupt. I lost everything. And without even generating a source of income, really, I rely on government handouts, benefits at the moment because of my health and the way things are. I've managed to create a life for myself that is, I've not gone without anything. I've not gone without holidays. I've not missed out on anything. I still ride a motorbike. You know, I don't let things hold me back in any way, shape or form. And I've my life is in a position now that I could never have imagined years ago. You know, just as the cities started to become, you know, 5G and, you know, more and more of a challenging place to be, I found myself in a position where I was able to move away from that. I'm now living in the countryside in a house with a bit of land, and I've got a big greenhouse, and I've got vegetables in the ground growing. And I never could have imagined this life for myself 10, 11 years ago, from where I was nearly bankrupt. And I've not done anything. I've not actively tried to change my life. I've just remained in a positive mindset. I've not let things grind me down and get on top of me at all, and despite my health conditions. You know, I've watched people at dialysis. I watched people deteriorate very quickly over a short period of time, and I've seen people die. A lot of people die, come and go, in you know, on dialysis, because they give up, because they're the victim of their circumstances. And I've refused to be a victim of circumstance. Like, I've gone through the majority of this interview now. It's only at this point now I've even decided to tell you that I'm on dialysis. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's just a little bit of who I am. Whereas these people who really suffer, it's all about who they are. It's the first thing they'll say to someone when they meet them. Oh, I'm on dialysis. I'm a victim. I struggle. I'm this. I'm that. Life's difficult. Blah, blah. That's not me. I meet people and they don't get to know that I'm on dialysis. It's not something I'll openly declare, because it's not me. It's not who I am.
It doesn't define you. That's exactly. An important aspect of it. You know, they say that sorrow is a pathway to the soul. When we get to a state where we feel, you know, forlorn, forgotten, kicked to the curb, if you will, from a divine perspective. Yeah, it's a time for soul searching and introspection. And we can either, you know, just really become depressed about the whole thing, or pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and carry on. And that's what you've done. And thank you for sharing that. And got a lot more to go through in the second segment. If you feel so inclined, could you let the viewing audience and listening audience know how they could reach you?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like I say, James, I tried to put myself out there in the past, but then I did do a backtrack and sort of suppress myself for a while. And so I've not actually got a website, a YouTube page. I've not got any of that. I've got a Facebook page, which, you know, I'm not big on Facebook, if I'm honest. They can find me on Facebook, Ryan Phillips. Or alternatively, if someone wanted to contact me by email, again, I'm not brilliant with with keeping on top of you know, emails and things, but now I know I've put it out there, I will make more of an effort to make sure I check these things. But my email address is Ryan is free. That's all one word. So that's RyanIsFree at ymail.com. So yeah, if anyone wanted to get hold of me for any reason whatsoever, then please feel free. So yeah, if people want to join us in part two, that'd be great. Obviously, that's for your members only, isn't it, James? Now,
yeah,
I've been a member and a subscriber to your channel for a number of years. Actually, it's only very recently I had to stop the subscription because I've had some financial things going on. Only temporary, you know, they'll soon iron themselves out. And I'd like to be a member again, but I wasn't even really, if I'm honest with you, James, I didn't always listen to every episode you put out. I very rarely, rarely listened to a part two, because I generally put them on at bedtime and, you know, sort of fall asleep before they got to the end of the podcast normally. But my point is, the only reason I was a paid member is because you did actually add value to my life.
Thank you.
Now, everyone out there has probably got a Netflix subscription that's not adding any value to their life. It's just mindless entertainment. And then there's people like you who are only asking for a cup of coffee a month in terms of fees. And you are, you know, really adding value into people's lives with the work that you're doing. So I'd really encourage people to consider being a member, not necessarily because you want to listen to part two, but because to support people like yourself, James, that are adding value into people's lives And I personally appreciate, you know, the work that you are doing. I think you're doing a tremendous job. And I want to congratulate you on building the platform that you have. So well done and thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. I really appreciate that. And we've expanded our operation because we're down to our last strike on YouTube. So we've set up platforms on Rumble and Odyssey and other platforms just in case YouTube goes by the way of the dodo at some point. Well, we've reached the end of the first segment. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the member segment.